This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom and Anthony today, and we're here to tell you it's all going to work out in the name of Jesus. It's going to work out. I'm reading from the 37th chapter of the Psalms. Do not fret. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. You know, the wildflowers come up in the Holy Land in the morning, and by the end of the evening, they're dead because of the scorching heat. So I'm telling you, the wicked will vanish from your life like those wildflowers, like those dandelions. The wicked will vanish. Don't pay too much time over the wicked. Give them to God. Let God deal with them, and things will happen. Don't fret. I know fret is easy to do, especially when people do us wrong. But you know what? Don't fret. Give it over to God. Give it over to God. I remember long time ago, a man came to me. I was seeing him in the office, and he was going to buy, I think, a breakfast place. It had a name. I forget the name. And he needed $5,000. Well, one day I was driving, and I needed to make a U-turn or something, and it was a store, and it was the store, the same name of the guy that needed $5,000. And so I said, the Lord wants me to give him the $5,000 for his store. I never saw him again after the $5,000. Never saw him again. But do not fret. There's $5,000 waiting for me. I'm not going to fret over it. Just let it go. It was a wrong decision, and hopefully I'll learn from it. Don't fret, because it only leads to wrongdoing.
In the power of God is within your peace. The devil has a strategy to get your eyes upon him and take your eyes up off Jesus. Peter could walk on water till he took his eyes off Jesus. So I'm losing my voice a little bit. Did about 14 hours of preaching this weekend in Salem. But you know what I didn't focus on? The wicked. You know what I didn't focus on? People yelling, "Hail Satan." I say, "Hail Mary." But then there's a lot of people that don't like that either, even Christians. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you keep your eyes upon me, then anything is possible. Because in me and through me, you can do anything and everything. See, the devil wants us to focus on the evil in the world, the evil in other people's hearts, because what we focus on grows. His only strategy is for you to keep your eyes off heaven. Because when your eyes are on Jesus, when your eyes are on heaven and the things of heaven, then within your life, God's authority grows and heaven begins to grow within your soul. Because the light doesn't battle with darkness. You turn on the light and it overshadows darkness. I don't go into dark places to fight a war, because the war is already won. I already have victory. I'm going in there to turn the light of Christ on. In the darker the place, the lighter your light will shine. The brighter your light will shine. The darker the place you go. But it is about how much light do you carry, and do you have the discipline to keep your eyes on the love of Jesus at all times.
Yes, when traveling through life's journey, let this be the goal. Keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. I tell you, it's so easy to concentrate on the negative. It's so easy when I have a whole donut to concentrate on. It's so easy to concentrate on that which is not of God. Get your eyes off that which is not of God. Get your eyes off of it in Jesus' name. We remember in the 11th chapter of St. John, the Greeks came and they told Andrew, we want to see Jesus. That's our cry for today. Not only today, for this week, not only this week, but this month and this year and this decade and so on and so forth. We want to see Jesus. That's what we want to see. We want to see the action of the Holy Spirit. We want to see things happen. I tell you, I tell priests that don't see things happen, I feel so sorry for them, because the Holy Spirit wants to do things and they don't know it yet. I feel so sorry for them. I see things happening all the time by grace, not because I can do anything, but by grace, God works, changes lives, blesses people by grace. Poor priests that don't know that. They say, you know, I've been ministering for how many years and I've not seen anything. Well, that's too bad, because God wants you to see things so you can thank him for it. Oh, yes, God wants you to see things. You say, well, I live by faith. I live by faith too, by grace. But you see, God says you plant and you reap. If you preach, you're going to reap. Now, I don't know who's listening to us today, but I know God is blessing people. Why? Because we're talking and preaching the word of God. We're not talking ragtime. We're not talking foolishness. We're not talking like the vice president laughing all the time. We're not talking like that. We're talking about the Lord Jesus, who gives the increase. And things have to happen. That's the secret. I learned that in 1968. No one had to teach me. It was the Holy Spirit. Talk about Jesus and you get the increase. Bring people to Jesus and you get the increase.
Whoa.
That's real. That's real. I didn't learn that in the seminary. I learned that before the Blessed Sacrament.
That's right.
I learned that before Jesus. Talk about Jesus and you get the harvest. People are afraid to talk about Jesus. They'll think I'm a Jesus freak. I don't care what they think.
Hallelujah.
Who cares about what people think? You know, they're not paying me anything. I'm going to be who I am. I remember one man said to me, I was in a teacher's meeting before I was in the seminary. And I said to him, it's all about Jesus. And you know what he said to me? Would you say something like that in the supermarket? Oh, I said, I certainly would. I certainly would. How many times have I been in the supermarket praying for people? How many times have I been at the fruit store in Revere? At the counter, a lady had problem with her eyes. I prayed for people. Yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm going to pray wherever I am as God leads, as God leads. And you know what? He leads on to people that are open. You can do great things in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're open. Now, I know you're not great, but I know he is great, and he wants to do miracles through you. It's up to you. You can just live a boring life if you want. I don't want to live a boring life. I want to see God working. Now, people say, well, you know, I've been doing this for so many years, and I don't see anything. Listen, I need to see things. I don't see it all. I don't see it all, that's for sure. I keep on planting seeds. But every once in a while, I see God doing something through some person because I prayed with them or because I spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's the way it is. That's the way it is. And if you don't see things, say to the Lord, I want to see something. I want to see that what I say and how I pray yields fruit. Show me. If only show me one. God will do it. God will do it. You know, it wasn't St. Paul who preached the gospel. And he had a lot of trouble with the people, especially in Corinth. But he saw fruit in people's lives. He saw people bearing fruit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he talks to the people in Corinth because they are kind of rebellious and he wants to put them on an even keel. But he saw things. Paul saw things. We need to see things. We do not have to only say, well, I preached and preached and preached, and I haven't seen it. I don't believe that stuff. I believe if you plant seeds, you're going to see some of them grow.
Glorifies Jesus to produce fruits in your life. See, you can't worry about what people think. When we fear man, we cannot fear God. When we desire the love of man, we cannot search after the love of God. We are called to speak the truth in love. The truth in love. And when people feel the source of what you're saying is the love of God, they will respond to it. They will respond to it. In Salem, as I preached, there were many people that came to the Lord. I was preaching the gospel. I wasn't watering it down, but I was preaching with love. I was preaching with love because Jesus was irresistible. Amen. To every person except the Pharisees and Sadducees who he came across. Jesus is in you should be irresistible. That you were created to be the light of the world. Are you the light of the world to everyone you come across? Because that's what Jesus created you to be. He created you to be a miracle worker. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who comes to me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There was a woman from Minnesota, and she heard me preaching, and she started crying, but I was preaching on the love of God. And she says, does God love me that much? She said, I am a surgeon. I was here to do surgery, and I have a car and a house and more money than I could ever think, but there's something in me that's unfulfilled. There's something in me. I'm seeing children die as I do surgery upon them. And I said, you know, there is no house, no husband, no wife, no child, no car that can ever fill the void in your heart that only Jesus was created you to fill. Only the love of God created you to fill. And whether we realize it or not, everything we have ever desired, every drink we have ever had, every possession we have ever bought, every relationship we ever seeked, we were only looking for one thing. We were looking for the love of Jesus. But Jesus says, just come to me and I will give you rest. Surrender to me and I will do all things through you. So I told the woman, God sent you here to me from Minnesota because Jesus wants your life today. Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you know, God, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that Jesus came to this earth to abolish fear of death, because when you know where you're going, death loses its sting. Death is not scary for me because I know the day I die, I'm going to begin my upgrade. That this earth is nothing compared to the glory of heaven. And that is where my citizenship is. That is where my passport is. And I am passing through this earth for 60, 80, maybe 100 years. And while I'm here, I'm going to get as many souls to the kingdom of God as I can. That I'm not going to try to build a mansion here on this earth. I'm going to let Jesus build me my mansion in heaven for all of eternity. And so the woman gave her life to Jesus. I prayed for her. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the glory of God. She was weeping in my arms, and Jesus did something for her. Now, the rest is about her and Jesus, because we can only do what we're called to do. I tell people, I cannot heal you, but I can pray for you, and Jesus can heal you. There is no other name under heaven or earth which we can be saved. I'm sure Buddha was a great guy, but Buddha cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. Psychic Fifi or Witch Fufu, they cannot save you. But to be saved, there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. To be healed, there is a healer. His name is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. Because the difference between Buddha, Anthony, and Jesus is that Jesus is risen. And because Jesus rose from the dead, right now, anything is possible. Right. The smaller and the weaker you are, the greater Jesus can be within you. The goal is to become nothing so that Jesus can become everything within you. And do not limit yourself, because when you limit yourself, you are limiting Jesus within you. That the same God that created the sun, the moon, the sky, every star, this universe, that same God, Jesus Christ, wants to not only come and live within you, make his home and dwell within you, but put all of the power of God within you. But are you going to let him today?
Are you going to let him? That means you're going to let the controls go. And I know we're so apt to be control freaks.
And what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is wanting to control. Wanting to control other people. Wanting to control God. Trying to make yourself king. Except submitting to King Jesus.
So what's the opposite? It's surrender. You've done everything else, and nothing is there. It's like you've put all your water, which is so dear, in a pot that has a hole in it, and it all falls out. It's time to surrender and give yourself to Jesus. What do you have to lose? You've got everything to gain. You've got everything to gain. And it's not wait until I'm old, because you might never be old. Who knows? It's to do what I need to do now. This is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to give yourself to the Lord Jesus. Do not wait another day. Do not wait another year. It is time now to give him yourself in faith. It's now. And you know what? People say, well, when I get old, you might never get old. We don't know what happens to us. We do the best we can. We want to live a long life by the grace of God. But we don't know if we're ever going to get old. Now is the time to give yourself to Jesus. The eternal now. Because that's all we have. That's all we have is now. I don't have the past. It's under the blood of Jesus. Amen. I don't have the future. It's under the providence of Jesus. The only thing I have is the eternal now. And now is the time of salvation. Don't wait. It's now. Now. Give yourself to Jesus. How do I do that? Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I surrender. I don't care the words you used. Makes no difference. But letting go. And giving your life over. I was before the Blessed Sacrament in 1968, and I said to the Lord, you can have my life. And you know what? He took it. He took it. By the grace of God, he took it. You can have my life. I did not come with any polished speech. I just said, you can have my life. And he did. He took it, and you know what? He still has it. Have I ever taken it back? Oh, yes. And when I take it back, I feel it. I feel it because it's not the way I want to live. It's like going through a drain pipe when I take it back. And, you know, many preachers don't tell you that, but they're all like me. They take it back sometimes. And when we take it back, we suffer. We suffer what we should not suffer because being His is what it's all about. But every once in a while, I know better, and I find out I really didn't know better. I didn't know better. Why did I think I knew better? Let Jesus lead me. Let Jesus use me. Let Jesus do what He needs to do. He just needs my yes.
Jesus, He's not looking at your words. He's looking at your heart. It took me 28 years for Jesus to prepare my heart to surrender fully to Him. And when I went through enough suffering and enough searching, Jesus saw my heart, that it was ready, and He sent me to Holy Rosary. In that Holy Rosary, I heard the gospel. I felt the Holy Spirit. I gave my life to Jesus, not by words, but I gave my whole heart to Jesus. And in that moment, 10 billion volts of Holy Spirit electricity flew through my vein, electrified every atom in my being. In that moment, Jesus made me a new creation because my heart was open. My heart was ready for Jesus, and I have never looked back. Have I sinned? I sin every day. That's why I go to confession. But is my heart only directed towards Jesus? I try my best because there's no turning back once you enter the kingdom of God. Life with Jesus is exciting. God wants to excite your life with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever God is calling you to do, He has already given you the grace to do it. I preached in Salem, and I preached for 7-8 hours. I said, I haven't talked this much in 2 months, but I just did the best I could. And now today, God's going to maybe send me the monastery to recharge me. Whatever God wants you to do, He has given you the grace to do it. You just comply right now, right now, right now, and tomorrow will take care of itself. So here's the thing. Right now, Jesus is asking you for a deeper surrender to your life. That grace is the ability for you to go beyond yourself. And where you end, Jesus begins. Jesus wants to take you to the end of yourself where you feel like you can go no further, because it is only in that moment that we know how much we need Jesus, that we know that we are nothing and God is everything. So come, Holy Spirit, fill my being with your power and your love. Amen. Because without you, Jesus, I can do nothing. But through you, I can do all things. Because you operating through me makes me supernatural. That you are a supernatural creation. Our heart's desire is to seek the supernatural because we are created for the supernatural. That we know deep within our heart that there is more that we can't see that we can see. If you could open your eyes, God has given you a guardian angel. God has surrounded you. All the saints in heaven are praying and interceding for you. Today, you can do all things with Christ, but you just need to take the first step so God can anoint the second step right now. Not tomorrow, not in 10 minutes, right now. Tell Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray the Holy Spirit, that same precious Holy Spirit that overshadowed the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Lord, release the fire of God to fill every person listening. I command every assignment of the enemy to break over your life now. Lord, let the river in the glory of God, tidal waves of God's glory, wash over you. Tidal waves of God's glory, wash over you. That Jesus didn't create you to live a normal life. Jesus created you to change the world.
Hallelujah. Change the world one at a time. One at a time. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you've got to listen. You've got to let them know you're listening. You've got to look in their eyes. You've got to let them know they're the most important person in the world, not by telling them, but by your complete surrendering to the Lord and listening to them as if they were the last person on earth. Oh, yes, people need that. And they'll say, why do you care so much about me? Then you've got an open door. You can say, well, I do care so much about you, but it's because someone lives in me. His name is Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And you can have it too. You know, I'm talking to people who have given their lives to Jesus and have fallen away. It's time to come back. Don't be so miserable anymore. It's not good to be miserable. God wants to let you know you've got to come back and know that you've been forgiven. Get the confession. Make a time. Do it. Don't linger. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. It already happened many years ago. It's time to come back. Come back, come back, come back with all your heart. Come back to the cross and let God share his life with you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.